I haven't forgotten what it was like to watch the decline of that woman who was so cheerful and bright and intelligent, such a wonderful hostess, such a marvelous mother. I haven't forgotten that.
Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. But I want that kind of heart. I want His will with all my heart." Elizabeth adds, "I say it to Him over and over. Lord, do anything you want with me, at any cost. Work your will in me." Welcome to Gateway to Joy. As you seek a closer walk with Jesus Christ, thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about aging parents. Let me read to you from one of my listeners who wrote this. "You spoke this morning to married people but did not touch on my situation. I will have been married 50 years this September. In September of 1988, my husband, since age 17, in other words, he had been her husband since age 17, I assume that's what she means, suffered several strokes, leaving him with an impaired vision and speech, loss of memory, and right side paralysis. After 4 months in hospitals, 3 months in Virginia with our children, we returned home May 89. I cared for him until October 26, 1990. He is now in a nursing home as I no longer could care for his needs. At times, he looks into my eyes and says, 'Who are you?' Now, dear heart, I do not expect you to have an answer right off the top of your head, but there are many of us in this boat. No one, at least I have not heard anyone, address this situation with any words of comfort or help. Where do I go from here? I'm really struggling with what my role in his life is at this point, other than paying his bills and visiting him and seeing to it that he gets proper care. When I go to see him, he seems quite content. But then sometimes he becomes agitated. I have no intention of abandoning him. I want to make his life as good as I can. I believe with all my heart that our God is sovereign, that he is in control. I bow to his almighty power, love, mercy, and grace. I want only his will. But how do I find out what that is now?" Well, thank you so much for that letter. You know who you are that wrote that, and I'm not sure whether I had permission to quote your name or not, so I better not. But I have written a little book called Forget Me Not. It's really just a booklet. But it came out of my own experience of watching my mother decline in her last few years. She died at the age of 87 in 1987. And my little book, Forget Me Not, tells about some of our visits with her. This was written while she was still alive, so it's written in the present tense, and I will read it that way. Mother is not in the retirement part anymore. She lives in what is tactfully called the convalescent part. To get to her room, we pass through a lobby filled with old women wrapped in afghans in wheelchairs. Some bang on trays, some moan, sob, cry, or shout. Some of them, with jaws dropped, are sleeping in spite of the noise. We try to smile at them, touch a hand or two, and hurry on to another floor where we find Mother, tiny but erect in her wheelchair with perhaps a book or a letter in her lap. The expression of perplexed sadness on her face gives way instantly to astonishment and delight when she sees us. Up go the arms, so unbelievably thin you think they'll snap if you hug her. Well, we hug her as well as we can in her wheelchair. "Where have you been?" she says. "I've been here a week, and not one of my six children has been to see me. Nobody comes near me. Oh, please get me out of here." We explain that we've been to see her many times. "And the other children?" "So have they." She doesn't believe us. We explain that we all live a long way away. "Why did you move so far away from me?" she wants to know. We tell her that she moved away from us. She lived first with one son and then with another. She denies this and then concedes that perhaps we're telling her the truth. She hopes we are, but she doesn't remember. It was her choice to move, to be near her dear sisters-in-law, our aunts, but that, too, she's forgotten. It sounded like a good idea to us when she firmly decided that she wanted that, so we had consented. Conversation is almost impossible. We try asking questions. What did she have for lunch? They didn't give her any lunch, she says. We try to tell her about her great-grandchildren. It's all news to her. The names of even her grandchildren are strange. Why, I had no idea she had children, she says about my daughter Valerie. I didn't even know she was married. Why didn't you tell me? She asks why our father has not been to see her, not even once since she came to the hospital. We remind her that he has been with the Lord for 23 years. Why, nobody told me, she says, bewildered at our carelessness. We read a few words from the Bible, ask if she remembers about the everlasting arms. She says she does, and we pray with her. She prays, too. She can still do that, and sometimes we sing. It's amazing how well she remembers the old hymns, though her voice, we remember how clear and strong it was in family prayers at home, won't do what she wants it to do anymore. Well, of course, the question that you are asking, you listeners, and the question that we were asking ourselves is how are we to regard such men and women? Shall we visit them when we can and try not to think at all between times? Shall we leave them entirely to those who are paid to keep them alive? Or, as in the case of many who work in Mother's Place, those who serve the Lord Christ by caring for these, his pitiful children? It's a Christian home where she is. Is this all we can do? I wanted to care for Mother myself. All six of us wanted to. It didn't work. The time came when she was manifestly miserable in any of our homes and begged to be allowed to go where she is. We talked about it, prayed about it, laid ourselves and our plans and that most beloved mother before God. We thought we did the right thing. Now we can do no more than pray. But how shall we pray? How shall we even think? When I've asked the Lord those painful questions, a few answers seem to have been given that I share with those whose lives are closely bound to people like Mother. And in this little book called Forget Me Not, I have a number of answers which I felt the Lord had given me, just reminders of the real truth as God sees it. Number one, she is still a member of the body of Christ, although she can no longer fathom what that means. When she suffers, she does not suffer alone. The whole body suffers, and Christ suffers in and with her. Now, that's from this little book. And as I said, the book is written in the present tense because Mother was still alive when I wrote it, but Mother has been with the Lord since 1987. I haven't forgotten what it was like to watch the decline of that woman who was so cheerful and bright and intelligent, such a wonderful hostess, such a marvelous mother. I haven't forgotten that, to see arteriosclerosis do its terrible work. I want to treat the subject calmly, and I want to treat it compassionately. And I do want to be gentle and even delicate, but I'm sure to step on somebody's toes. I know that some of the folks in that home, when they saw this little book, were incensed or angered by it. One of them said to one of my aunts, "Why did she write it?" Well, the answer, of course, is because I myself had experienced the sorrow and pain of watching not only one but several loved ones become senile and turn into different personalities, and gradually be divested of their powers. And I had done a lot of thinking about it, asking God to show me something of His truth about a situation which is going to get much worse before it gets better, unless, of course, He comes. And the sum of all my prayers is, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." That would solve everything, wouldn't it? You whose hearts are aching for any reason today, whether it's because of aging parents or something else, do you pray that prayer? "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." And for you who do cope with this question daily of how to think about these senile people and people who have lost some of their powers, if not necessarily their mental powers, and they become more and more difficult to care for, more and more difficult to have in your home, perhaps, less and less able to take care of themselves in their own homes or whatever the situation is. Remember, they are still members of the body of Christ if they are Christians, even though they may not be able to fathom any longer what that means. Remember that Christ Himself suffers with them. When Christ lives in me, then Christ suffers in me and with me. And the whole body of Christ suffers as well. When one member suffers, the whole body suffers. And that's comforting to me, to remember that. So, back to the verses with which I introduced my program today. "Come to me, all of you who are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest." Jesus wouldn't have said that if He couldn't do it. May He calm your troubled hearts today, and may you come to Him and receive the rest that only Jesus Christ can give.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.